Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
It's been a long day. You glance at the clock as the big hand strikes 10:59 p.m. You stop to pour yourself a drink. No holding back. Only the strong stuff tonight. The crackling fire illuminates the room in a very comfortable looking sofa. You take a closer glance. And what's that? You see 3 men in bathrobes and slippers. What are you doing here?
All right. Just here for the pod and that.
Yeah, you know, the one you listen to after like that stressful day you've been having.
Yeah, the one with the three idiots talking about, you know, what they've watched, what they're going to watch, probably some other stuff too.
Am I supposed to say something here, am I, or...
Oh, for fuck's... You take a seat, put your feet up, and listen to your favourite podcast. Welcome to 60 Minutes to Midnight. Hello, and Happy New Year to you all our lovely listeners out there.
Is it?
Well, we'll get on to that, Gareth. Is it Happy New Year to you, Gareth, and Happy New Year to you, John? How are you doing?
Pretty positive, mate.
Oh,
that's
COVID positive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, little treat for you listeners. This is, of course, a 60 Minutes to Midnight episode, but literally, you know, we were meant to do this episode, record it several times, but me and Gareth have been very ill. Turns out we're COVID positive. So, that's been a great start to 2022. So, thumbs up there, life. Thanks very much.
I literally queued up for 4 hours for a test on New Year's Day. So that's how I started my year.
Literally. So we've had a couple of days just getting over the worst of the illness. Luckily, we're double vaccinated and we've been all right. But we're starting to feel a bit better. So we finally felt we could do this podcast. And that means, by the way, at one point, all of us Minutemen have had COVID and done a podcast. So well done to us, because we could have easily sacked it off, but we thought, no, you know, we're persevering for you, the listeners, yeah?
We haven't got through this one just yet, Len, so let's not...
No, that is true. I'm just starting to get a really hot flush as we're going, so maybe I should be careful what I say. It's John, other than our, obviously... malaise at the start of the year, how are you? Are you okay?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's look, you know, last Jan we were in lockdown, not in the office, and now it's Jan 2022 and it's the same, isn't it? I'm getting so bored of it, honestly it's just so boring.
John, I'll tell you what though, you're an Arsenal fan. Where were Arsenal this time last year on the Premier League table?
Well, yeah, they were shit. And now,
yeah,
doing all right. I mean, look, our listeners don't care about football, but if they did,
still a bit shit.
Len's team are terrible, even though they spent, you know, £1 billion in the last 4 weeks. Gaz's team is still the best team. But we're on the up. We're on the up. It's good. No, happy days.
There you go. So that's what I'm saying. There are green shoots. There are changes happening in our universes. You just have to look for
positive
them
ones
because they're there.
Oh God. Anyway, we won't get on to football. Man United will finish above Arsenal. Even though we're terrible this year.
Well, we'll do a bet. We'll do a bet here on live on the.
We
pod.
Did that last time.
Yeah.
Okay, go on. 50 quid says we finish above you. No, 50. Come on.
He's not made of money.
I'm not made of money.
Can I get in on this one, please?
No, definitely not.
So, I tell you what, John, it's funny you talk about boredom and being bored of everything, because something that will make you less bored is watching The Matrix Resurrections, which is going to be pretty much the main focus of this podcast. But before we get on to that and how it is literally the most boring film ever made...
Whoa, spoilers.
Spoiler,
yeah.
That's my opinion. Yeah, maybe it's not. Maybe I'm tricking you. But John was very lovely, and he actually sent me and Gaz some whiskies as a Christmas gift or as a gift of becoming new fathers. Maybe both.
Maybe both.
In a way.
Yeah.
So,
it was the kid thing.
Both. Yeah. It is a kid thing. So I think it would be customary. I said to John I wouldn't drink mine until we did a podcast. And this is just proof of me, you know, sticking to my word. Even though I'm sick, I did Google whether COVID is affected by whiskey in a bad way. Apparently it's okay. So I'm going to crack open this lovely bottle.
Fixes
of
it.
Oban 14-year-old single malt Scotch whiskey. So, ooh, you love that little noise there?
Didn't hear anything.
Good noise that, wasn't it? Ooh. Yeah, you won't. Don't worry about it.
Again, he's talking about his voice again.
Ooh, mental.
Yeah, that clinky. So this is a lovely whiskey, John. I've not tried it yet. I'm going to have a sip now.
But it's, he knows it's lovely.
Yeah. He's tried it.
This is
lovely. I haven't tried it.
He's bought a different bottle.
This is perfect.
That's milk.
Jacques Daniels. okay, right. Oh, that is lovely. That is lovely. I have to say.
You do have to say,
beautiful,
yeah.
Beautiful drop.
Because I'll be fuming.
I do have to say. Very nice, John. Very nice. And it's warming the back of my throat now and curing COVID. Guys, I have discovered the cure for COVID. It is Oban. And thank you very much, John.
Yeah, I mean, that's not official. Oban does not cure COVID. But it is a lovely whiskey.
What's that horse...
Len's What's views that? Expressed what? Are his own and not representative of the podcast as a whole.
Can I just ask, what was that horse drug? Was it Invectin or something like that that everyone was snapping up because they thought it was a COVID cure? Yeah. Big time. This is it, Oban.
There you go.
Yeah, good. Well, I got a bottle.
Gareth's got one as
well. I got a bottle as well from Johnny Mac.
Yeah.
I actually, my glass is pre-prepared because... bizarrely, somehow, my wife hasn't got COVID. Or she was the one who got it initially and gave it to all of us.
Correct.
Makes more sense.
I'm in sort of a self-isolation at home, which is thoroughly depressing. But it does mean that she delivers all of my food and drink to me. So she went and poured my glass of Balvenie, as you can see here. And she's given me a healthy dose. I'm pretty happy with that. But you won't hear any of the delightful sounds of me uncorking the bottle, sadly.
Undisgraceful.
But
that's the best bit.
But you will hear my reaction to my first sip. It's Balvenie, triple cask, 12 years. See how we go.
Mine was 14, so.
That is unbelievably smooth.
Mm.
It's delicious.
I think
very nice, mate. Thank you.
There is a recommendation here that, you know,
the Matrix recommendations.
I don't want to be irresponsible, but if you do like whiskey, go out, catch COVID, give it a couple of days, Obviously, if you're bedridden, then call an ambulance. But if you're not bedridden, crack open a bottle of whiskey. Honestly, it tastes better. Fact. That is scientific fact. Oh, is that why this is good? Yeah.
Yeah. So you could have just got us a really shit bottle and we would have loved it.
I could have done, yeah. But this is all tax deductible anyway. So.
Well, thank you very much, John. What a lovely way to start the new year.
What are you drinking?
With this. Yeah, what are you drinking, mate?
Just a mocha.
Nah, enough of that. Mocha. He's the coffee man these days. Obviously, we're recording very early for England time. It's the evening here for us Australian Englishmen. Right, so let's get to the crux of this episode. We're going to talk about a few things, but mainly we're going to dedicate our time to a film which has shocked me, you guys, and the world, and that is Matrix Resurrections. Now, what I thought we would do, which is something we've been sort of starting to do with a lot of our film reviews, is we're going to talk for a few minutes, just spoiler-free, to and sort of give our overall thoughts on the film before diving into a few plot points. This is a bit different to the 60-minute formula, but we're going to talk about very loosey-goosey, so it still sits within the 60 minutes.
Lucy's not coming, is she?
Nah, she's not actually. Goosey. She can't make it. yeah, Goosey's in. But yeah.
He's so already here, mate. Boys. Yes. Yeah,
So at the moment in time, at this moment in time, The Matrix Resurrections is sitting on 64% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well deserved. Well deserved.
I'd love to get your overall spoiler-free thoughts on The Matrix Resurrections, please. I'm going to start with Gareth.
I'm going to say it's sort of hard to talk about this film without spoilers. Oh, yeah. Because it's so bad that... But I need to refer to specific things, specific examples from the film to explain why it's so bad. So for me to talk about it generally and broadly is hard. I would say this, a film that explicitly points out the cynicism behind making a fourth film for this particular franchise, and then just makes that fourth film for this particular franchise, is so both up its own ass, hypocritical, and just the most shameless piece of garbage I can remember seeing for a long time. The storyline. Do you know, actually, it's simultaneously really hard to talk about without spoilers, and also really easy to talk about without spoilers, because there is no discernible storyline. I have no idea what this was about. I don't know what the narrative was. I don't know what the point of it is. I don't know what it's trying to achieve in terms of building the next layer to this Matrix story, which, to be perfectly honest, should have ended after film one, and it would have been one of the greatest movies of all time. And I actually think that, like, I think it would have been regarded as that. Maybe it even is, with the damage that came afterwards. But The Matrix for me, I want to remember it as a standalone movie. And I think that's how I will always remember it. And everything that came afterwards, particularly this iteration, that's like separate canon to me. It's separate to the canon. Because it's otherwise it's just too damaging. It's too damaging to the original film. I will say that.
Oh wait, and yes, Gareth, we're going to blueberry it at this phase. So for anyone listening, 0 to 5 bloobs, blueberry scale is harsh but fair, no halves. Okay, so what would you give it out of 5 bloobs? 0 being the worst, obviously.
It's an awful film. However, I will say this. Probably because of the way that I went into watching it, while I was watching it, I kind of enjoyed laughing at it and how bad it is. And for that reason, well, I'll tell you this as well. It actually took me a total of 17 hours to watch this 2.5 hour movie. I just couldn't, sit through it. Anyway, while I was watching it in that time, I had some fun sort of messaging you two and being like, what the fuck is this? And for that reason, for that non-actually film-related reason, but for the the enjoyment that I had with my personal experience, it gets one blueberry.
Oh, lovely. Well, that's a lovely score there, Gareth. So, you know, I'm going to go next, John. I just want to chime in because I'd love to hear your thoughts last as a crescendo before we head into spoilers. Now, I am a huge Matrix sort of fan. Like, I love everything about the universe in which the Matrix sits. Whether it's some video games have been set in that world, things like the Animatrix, which is an amazing sort of 6-part animation series, which fills in loads of lore gaps about how the machines rose to power. All this shit. I love the martial arts in the original. I love the way that it's a sort of callback to old school kung fu movies. And I love the way that the original film can be translated in so many different directions about what it's trying to say about so many different things, and how the film sparked a whole conversation, revolutionized science fiction, blah, blah, blah. So Matrix 2 and Matrix 3, like, I went back and rewatched them after I watched this film, and they look like masterpieces when compared to this. This film, for me, is one of the biggest disappointments of my sort of watching film life. I can't even think of
just say life.
Where I've lost for words. Just life. No, watching film life, John. Watching film life. Because I was so excited. I remember we talked about this on a previous 60 Minutes episode, and we're like, oh, actually, yeah, this is going to be good. The trailer looks all right, doesn't it, boys? Yeah, this looks all right. I remember we said we can't wait to see it. And then basically to watch this, it broke my heart a little bit. I mean, what Lana Wachowski has done, and it feels to me like she's taken this franchise, right, and turned... And she's annoyed because originally what was going to happen is someone else was making this film. So the Matrix property was going away from her, and she's stepped back in and said, I'm going to make this film. And she's just turned it into a massive meta joke about itself and completely ruined everything in my mind about the Matrix and the whole world within it, which it lives. The action's terrible. The acting is abysmal. It is literally one of the worst put together films I've ever seen. And I've seen some well-respected critics saying that this is a good film. And I don't understand. I cannot, for the life of me, see what they are seeing in this film. And it literally gets me audibly angry when I hear them talking about a film that is clearly a piece of trash, and this film is trash. And look, I don't want to take it away from anyone that actually enjoyed the film. Fair enough.
Yeah, you do.
If you got something, yeah. But it makes me annoyed that you got something out of this film, because I didn't get anything out of it. I was the closest is ever come to me giving something zero. Like, literally, I was going to give it zero, because I didn't even have that moment of messaging people like Gaz had, having fun with it. I didn't have that. You know, I watched this with my partner Mel, and she loves The Matrix. She even loves The Matrix 2 and 3. She actually really likes them. And she said, this is literally one of the worst films she's ever seen. And she loves Matrix 2 and 3.
If you love Matrix 2 and 3, you've lost your right to critique other movies, haven't you? I'm disappointed.
Yeah, but anyway, I was going to give it zero. But I said to Gareth, I do see some kernels of a story in there and some moments that I think are quite interesting. And if they had just explored that a bit more than some of the other shit around whatever the fuck they're trying to do about, you know, being a meta commentary on sequels and being so self-referential that they're just literally blowing smoke up their own ass. If they just focus on some of those elements, I think there's something in there. So I'm going to give it a one, which might be one of my lowest scores ever, because everyone knows I'm a hype man.
Particularly for something that you're actually looking forward to watching.
Exactly. And you boy, everyone who listens to this podcast knows, and you boys know, if I'm excited to watch something, I will automatically give it four bloobs. Yeah. That, it automatically.
you overlook any of its downfalls. It does.
like Star Wars, The Last Skywalker. And what's the last one called, John?
Yeah, no, that
what's
sounds the last about one right. Called? A New Skywalker.
The Last Skywalker.
The Last Jedi was the second one.
I'll give
one.
That like... yeah, and then Rise of Skywalker. Yeah. I gave that
gave
like
four
bloobs when
a shocker,
which we all know is a shocking thing in retrospect. So look, for this to get a one from me, I think says
I
it
think
all, guys. Anyway,
your review of that alone got us Fan Critical a podcast a one yeah. one star review. That's how dreadful a view it is.
Yeah. It did. Someone was really annoyed that I liked that film. It was John just secretly yeah. doing it because he was so annoyed. Yeah. all right, John, after two scores of one, what will yours be? Who can guess?
Yeah, no, look, I'll give it a one. I think you're right there, Lem.
What the hell are you doing?
I'm hot, mate. I'm fanning myself.
Himself.
Sorry.
Like you're continuing. Checking your steps.
Yeah. Birdman 2.
Oh, no, I was
trying to fly away.
Don't know that.
Three blueberries.
Yeah.
Right. So I was the first to watch this film. So I had no reference.
In the world?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just sitting here, Lana next to me. Wouldn't share the popcorn. What are you doing here? But I had no reference to what actual like normal people that I know thought of this film. And I saw the reviews and I was like, that seems like it's pretty decent. So, you know, it won't be a complete waste of 2.5 hours. Well, so about 30 minutes in, I'm like, this is a zero bloob, isn't it? How has this happened? look, we won't go into spoilers yet, but some people, I think, are giving this film like props for the effort. Like they've not just gone, okay, well, it's just a follow-on from The Matrix Revolutions. It's trying to be clever and meta, and oh look, it's kind of talking about itself. And I'm like, this isn't clever. When you've got like five people sitting around a table just being like fucking on the nose, it's not clever at all. And what isn't clever is just inserting unbelievably stylistically. I can't believe this is directed by the same person.
I can't believe it. Yeah, I can't believe it.
It feels like
Michael Bay.
If it was like, no, I disagree. I think if Michael Bay picked up this property, he would make it like a popcorn movie, and you'd sit there and go, "It's two bloobs, isn't it?" Some of the explosions are fucking mental, but I mean, it's two bloobs, isn't it?
What's Optimus Prime doing there?
Yeah. Yeah. He could have been in this and it would have made it better.
Well, Warner Brothers.
Well, there you go. But it's
true. What is Shia LaBeouf up to these days anyway?
I'm
Morpheus. That could work.
Well, yeah. Are you? Yes. I'm Morpheus now, right?
We'll get into spoilers. Anyway, John.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. I wouldn't say it's disappointing. I love the original Matrix. I remember the day I watched the original Matrix, just a mate of mine
so
brought
I.
it around on VHS. He's like, "Have you seen this?" So I looked at it, I was like, "Keanu Reeves." I was like, "Right, okay." Stuck it on. I was like, "Fucking hell, this is quality." But I was sort of doubting myself because I was like, "It's Keanu Reeves, isn't it? So it's not that good." Like this is at an age where, you know, this is 99, so I'm starting to get a bit poncy with films. I've just watched The Godfather, Pulp Fiction, like, You know, those are proper films. Because you were
37 at that point.
38. And, yeah, so I love the original Matrix, and I knew this wasn't going to be anything like that. But honestly, stylistically, it's awful. It's like someone's, like HBO have gone, do you know what? We've done 3 seasons of whatever show, and it's come to a natural end. And then someone like Channel 5 have picked it up, and they've gone, right, okay, what is, just to remind people, like, can you imagine if, let's say they did a follow-on of Game of Thrones, and just randomly you'd have people going, no, no, but what it is the Night King, he is still here. And as they're talking, there's just there's just a cinema screen in the background of the long night. You go, what's going? Why is that playing in the background? Yeah. What's going on here? It's fucking terrible, isn't it? And like initially, I'd give it a 1 bloob. Yeah. It's not a 1 bloob, is it? It's a 0 bloob. It's a terrible movie. And you talk about some people getting something out of this film. What a film like this does is kind of depress me, because it shows you how divided humanity is at the moment. In that, depending on your political stance, that will automatically go, right, I have to like this film or I have to hate this film. There are people out there that are talking about this film. They are literally calling it a masterpiece because of X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You're talking shit, man. Like, and people are referencing this this Keanu Reeves quote where he says, well, look, you know, cinema is art. And if you see something and you don't quite get it or enjoy it or like it, I tend to look at it and try and meet it in the middle and see where they're coming from. Yeah, but you'd never say that about Freddy Got Fingered. And that's as thoughtless as this movie is. Like, it doesn't understand that it's not good. It's terrible. It's really bad. And as I say, that's the more depressing part of this, is that there are people out there that will defend this to the hilt, and there are critics that are like, oh yeah, but you know, it does this, and no, it's shit. It is shit. And when it all dies over, like when it all blows over, in like, you know, 5-6 years time, you will get people like revisionist articles where it's like, oh, actually just change that from a 4 to a 2 and hopefully no one notices. Don't change any of the content of the review. Just anywhere I've put fantastic, just delete that so it doesn't even make sense as a sentence. It's ridiculous. And it will be revisionist. Look, Rotten Tomatoes is a garbage system anyway. But it pains me to see this get rated fresh. Come on. No way, man. No way.
Well, I'm just thinking, because it's a 60 minutes episode, and you know, slightly different format to just a standard review, I wondered, Len, do you remember the first time you saw the original Matrix?
Yeah, I had it on VHS, the same as John. My parents rented it from the local VHS rental shop. And
just say Blockbusters.
We all watched. Jesus, it wasn't Blockbusters.
No,
it wasn't Blockbusters.
That. No
it
one
was
cares
in...
about
no
Video Easy.
No, no. Yeah.
Chicken kebabs and videos.
we all just watched it together, and I was blown away. Like, I was just blown away as that could be a film. Just the whole concept of it was incredible to me. Let alone the martial arts, let alone... And you say about Keanu Reeves. I love Keanu Reeves. At this moment in time, you know, we're in prime Keanu. We're in Keanu's world at the moment.
The age of Keanu world.
However, we'll get onto it in a minute. But he is abysmal in this film. Abysmal. Like, the worst I've ever seen him act. And I know he can't act, bless him, but this is the worst ever. You know?
My first experience of the Matrix was quite a formative one. Like, I remember it so well, because I was actually on a family holiday. We're doing a little like European trip, and we stopped off in Luxembourg to see like my parents' friends, and I was like 12 at the time. So this was I missed it when it first came out. I had no idea what it was. And this little Luxembourgian kid was like, "Oh, hey man, do you like The Matrix?" That's a Luxembourgian accent, just by the way. I had no idea what he was talking about.
Luxembourg, are you from, mate? Grimsby.
I had no idea what he was talking about, but I didn't want to embarrass myself, so I was like, "Yeah, I love The Matrix." And he was like, "Oh, cool. Well, let's watch it." And so I sat down and watched it in Luxembourg, and it blew my mind. I'd never seen anything like it at the time, and I don't think anything like it really existed, did it? I reckon like it is a watershed moment in a lot of ways for film, not just on like a technical level, but in terms of a lot of the core themes and the I don't know, the aesthetic of it and the spirit of it as well. I think you've got like a pre-Matrix film world and a post-Matrix film world.
Very true. Very true, Gareth. Right. Sorry about our negativity, but it's going to be fun. So stick around for the spoilers coming up after this quick pouring of some whiskey. All right. Now, as I said, this is Lucy Goosey. Lucy's not here. Goosey is. But in all seriousness, let's just chat about this as a group of mates, as we would usually, because we've been chomping at the bit to actually talk through some of these finer points of the film, and we haven't actually done it yet, really. So let's just go to it now. The start of this film is literally one of the most arrogant, stupid executions of cinema I've ever seen. To the point where I was so disheartened from the opening of this film that I questioned whether I needed to watch the rest of it, but then I felt like, oh, we might podcast on this, and it was a very confusing time for me. And it made me question just how someone could drop the ball so much, like I think Lana Wachowski has here, and the studio as a whole. What do you guys think? Because this whole idea that Neo is in a new Matrix, and the old Matrixes were a video game, a video game trilogy, and he's the most famous game developer in the world now, which is ridiculous as I'm saying it. And then they want him to make a fourth Matrix game, and then you proceedingly have this line, even in a pitch meeting with him and his boss, who's like, Warner Bros. Have said, they're our parent company, have said, make the fourth Matrix. And I'm literally sitting there going, are you, like John said this in the pre thing here, it's so on the nose, it's not clever. It's just stupid. Like, the whole thing is a fucking joke. And that montage that Gareth, you've talked about with me, where they're like pitching ideas for the fourth Matrix. Oh my God.
That's one of the worst scenes I can bring to mind. I mean, obviously I've watched it quite recently, so it's quite easy to bring it to mind, but I can't think off the top of my head of a scene specifically that I just thought was worse than that. It was so cringeworthy, and there were so many parts of it that just didn't work. It was this montage with I don't know what the name of the song is, but everybody knows the song. About Alice and the rabbit and stuff. You know the song. It's too slow paced for a montage for a start. So the song doesn't work. The scenes, the way that they keep getting the creatives to repeat the same suggestion, but in like a different meeting. What is the point that people just keep coming up with the same ideas or something? We need our own bullet time. We need our own bullet time. We need our own bullet time. It's like, what is happening? And then just interspersed with Keanu. I'm not even going to call him by his character's name here because he's not Thomas Anderson. He's not Neo. He's Keanu.
He's not.
Who has been dragged into this half-heartedly.
He has.
Loads of shots of him holding blue pills in different moments.
No, my favourite one is him on the treadmill. Like, what is going on? What is going on?
He's asked for that to be put in. He's like, can we just show people that I do exercise? Because
I do work out. Oh my god. Okay, so you're right. Okay, so the concept is that they're so self-referential about this fourth film that they're making it what they think is funny to the point of where you're like, it completely destroys the original trilogy, like to the point where you're just watching it going, why are you trying to hurt people's interpretation of that trilogy? Like, are they trying to say, hey guys, is Lana trying to say, you guys didn't understand what I was trying to say with the Matrix trilogy? Is that what you think she's trying to do? Because that's the only thing I can come to it going, maybe she's trying to say, look, you guys completely fucking misinterpreted my original three films. I don't know. That's the only way I can sort of think how why she's done this.
Yeah, but like, but then also, think, so who cares? Like, who cares really? The trilogy is not relevant anymore. It's gone. And also, it's a trilogy, so it's like,
yeah.
it's almost like it's scared to be called a cash grab. So it's gone, all right, well, we'll do it slightly differently, and we'll say, yeah, like, well, it could have been a cash grab, but we've said it, so now we're gonna do this instead, yeah. And it's like, well, this is even worse because you're just remaking the first Matrix in the most horrible way possible. Like, honestly, there's one bit I want to talk about before I forget. And those that have listened,
yeah, this is loosey goosey, mate. We'll jump all over the
those
place
that have listened to this pod will know that once a film kind of loses me, I'll just disappear into my phone for a bit, and then I'll look up and stuff's happening, and I'm like, okay.
Oh, you missed all the best bits, mate.
Yeah. So,
Mr. Anderson, I can't help it. That scene is terrible, bro.
Yeah, awful. Oh. So we've got Neil Patrick Harris. As far as casting goes, pretty awful. But that's consistent across the film, so that's fine. So he obviously has some serious abilities. You know, he can just stop time. So Neo's fucked. I think that's why they cast him
as this character, to be honest.
Well, there you go. You know that guy that was in Doogie Howser? Get him in. So
his name's Barney, I think. Get Barney in.
Yeah.
How I Met Your Mother.
Who's the guy who's in How I Met Your Mother and Doogie Howser? Yeah, get him in. And let's give him all these magical powers. And it's like, right, okay. So he's taken bullet time to the max. Maximum.
To the next level,
yeah.
Maximum.
And I'm like, well, I mean, they're never going to be able to beat him because he's obviously got that power. And that disappears later on in the film. I was like, what's happened here? And I turned to Cheryl, I was like, why is that power gone? And she was like,
you're obviously on your phone when they explained how that went.
She was
missing.
Like, no, it's there's just Mr. Anderson turned up and that. And I'm like, no, where's that power gone? What happened to that power? Because I was
Mr.
just so
Anderson
confused.
Turned
I was like,
up.
Actually, I've lost it.
Did she mean Mr. Smith?
Sorry, Mr. Smith.
Sorry, oh, right.
Mr. Smith. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just like, well, I mean, there you go. Yeah, but I mean, it's quite difficult considering that Mr. Smith's not even in this film. They've just got the guy from Hamilton to be in it, and it's like, well,
Mindhunter.
Honestly, what's with the casting of these bad guys?
All right, let's stop for a second because you're right, John. You're right. There are a lot of bizarre plot decisions, and I know we're talking about this quite loosely, but I just thought. So you have this first phase of the film. which is this self-referential, hey, everything you thought was in The Matrix potentially was just a video game, we're making a sequel, to then it spiraling into you finding out that Neo has actually been resurrected, in quotation marks, by the machines, and they've created a new Matrix which is powered by the proximity of Neo and Trinity to each other. Well, yes, they can't be too close and they can't be too far apart, but when they're just right, they create a sort of electric connection that then inspires the rest of the Matrix, or the inhabitants of the Matrix, to then become the most powerful Matrix from a battery perspective that the machines have ever had. Does that make any sense to anyone? No, it's ridiculous.
Mate, so you then have, you can't rationalize love. That's, you know, that's true. The cards.
Very good point, Gareth. And that is why you're on this podcast, yeah, for comments like that. So you're hired for at least one more. So basically, the idea is that after it's been all self-referential, like Gareth said in his thoughts, it then goes on to just be the Matrix One, essentially, you know, in a way. Like, it goes on to...
No, they literally play the Matrix One in the background of about 70% of scenes.
It's disgusting how they do
that. What is happening? You can't do that. That's not... Sorry, that is not allowed. Like, that's not there is no code or convention in filmmaking.
Lana
that says...
Lana, excuse me. Lana, the film's running 10 minutes under. What do you want to do? What? You want me to throw old clips in? What, just randomly? Yeah, all right. Yeah, we're running 2 minutes over now. Good job. Yeah. Done.
Perfect.
You're not Morpheus. Literally. He is on the TV there. That's Morpheus. No, buy him a new one, a better one.
So, yeah. So essentially, Neo gets freed from this Matrix again, which is this new Matrix. And 60 years have passed since he sacrificed himself to save humanity and bring peace between the machines and the humans. Now, to me, there's a couple of really interesting things at play which were completely not explored and glazed over. And there's some really stupid things that are just enhanced. So, Neo is finally awakened from his new pod. And he says to someone like, oh, you know, so my sacrifice was for nothing, because he finds out that the machines sort of reneged, you know, they went against the Peace Act and they've made this new Matrix, right? Which is quite interesting as a concept, I think, because they even say they saw the machines fighting against each other because power supplies were really low. Now, to me, that's interesting.
That is interesting.
That is an interesting situation for this world that's been created. What happens to the machines? They finally started a war with themselves, which then created this power vacuum that the fucking Doogie Howser guy comes in and makes this new Matrix, right? The analyst or whatever the fuck he's called. That's really interesting. What also is interesting to me in this film, which is not really explored properly, is the fact that Neo's sacrifice did enable programs and machines to have a bit of sentience and fight for the humans. That is interesting. That is very interesting. That is like, okay, I like the idea of that there's more physical robots or machines, and I get they're trying to do that with the IO stuff, but they just completely glaze over it. They're like, this is IO, let's break out of here and go back to the Matrix. What the fuck is the point of that? Talking about Morpheus in this film, played by Yaya, who we love from Watchmen, it's a shambolic handling of that character,
right,
to the point, and he's not Morpheus, I'm not saying he's a literal clone of Morpheus, but he is a clone of Morpheus, if you get what I mean.
So can you help me to understand it then? Because my reading of it is, it's not Morpheus, it's a computer simulation of some sort, a program that is designed to be Morpheus, but is self-aware enough to know that he's not Morpheus and has to learn how to be Morpheus.
Yes.
Right.
It is. Yaya's Morpheus is a combination of Smith and Morpheus that was designed by Neo and put into a modal of one of his games that was then made self-aware by taking a red pill from Bugs, who then realized his job was to also find Neo because he is Morpheus, but he is not Morpheus and needs to learn how to become Morpheus. That is the Morpheus in this film.
Right.
What a fucking shambles. John, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, let's say he is Morpheus. Let's just say, do you know what? Yeah, let's just say they...
For the ease of it.
Lawrence Fishburne, he's back. Let's just say that happens. What does he offer to this film? Nothing. So
there,
why?
There is one point where he's in ball bearing form and he sort of goes through a vent.
No, which was quite integral to a
heist. But why did that have to be Morpheus? It could be any correct. Ball bearings.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So if they were
Do you bring your ball bearings along?
Like if they'd have called him like
ball bearing man.
Yeah.
Well, there's the strawberry guy who was ball bearings as well. He could have done it.
Well, look, I have a few issues here. 60 years have passed and suddenly they've gone from like the shittest tech. I mean, it's pretty good if you're in the Matrix, but they've now got ball-bearing robots. So how has this happened?
No. Let's think about it. Go 60 years back to today, they'd be like, what we're doing right now. This is mental for people in 1962.
There's no... All right, but in agreed. 60 years' but, time, we're not going to have ball-bearing robots. bearing in mind they're in a civil war.
I bet you Liverpool will finish above Arsenal and there will be ball-bearing men.
What I will say is, because I recently watched...
ball-bearing men.
After I watched this film, I watched Matrix Reloaded and Matrix Revolutions all in one day. And... I actually think that the second and third film are much better than I remember them being. And the second film in particular is nowhere near as bad as I thought. It's actually okay. The third film, Revolutions, has so many issues, but it's still much better than this. But the tech in that film, like actually the humans have, Zion and stuff, is actually very impressive. It's very advanced. So it doesn't surprise me that they have this sort of tech at all.
They don't have any ball bearing robots though, do they?
They didn't have ball bearing men. No.
Do they have any robots?
But
if you look, yes, if you look carefully at minute 56 in Revolutions, there is a little blueprint on one of the desks that says ball bearing people plan.
What I would have liked is, let's say, liked is a stretch, fucking hell, but if instead of it being Morpheus, this ball bearing man. Could have had like a name that symbolizes like the union.
Marbles.
Marbles. I don't know, like because a lot of the original Matrix looks at, you know, transhumanism, where it's like
exactly,
yeah. So it would have been quite cool. I mean, I can't remember what. Obviously, Zion's gone, but this new city that they live in.
Io.
So he could have been like a child of Io in that he's like a robot, but he obviously has humanity in that he's self-aware and stuff. And that could have been like, okay, well, that's his role. He's like, he's part robot, he's part human, or he's at least humanistic in terms of his personality. And that's why he plays such a big part in that union, I guess. But instead, what they've gone is get Morpheus back. He was good, wasn't he? No.
Yeah.
Might as well just call him Cypher.
But when you watch...
Like, just pointless.
And the thing that hurts it the most is that they do play the old clips of Morpheus. And rewatching the original Matrix the other day, after watching this, the level of acting is just on another level to this film. And also, Lawrence Fishburne's Morpheus is so captivating as a character... that he is all-encompassing in that film.
Yeah.
More so than Neo or Trinity or anything. He draws you in. He fascinates you. You're like one of the crew of the Nebuchadnezzar. You are completely believe whatever he tells you. You know, Neo is the one. The Oracle said this sort of stuff. This Morpheus feels like it's just... he's just there to make up the numbers. Like, it's just a joke. It's a literal joke.
Yeah.
And it hurts it. Showing these old clips of the old film is like, no, that was amazing. That is literally amazing, that film. What is this shit I'm watching next to it? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, so Morpheus is like this figure where, you know, he famously says in The Matrix, I can only show you the door, you're the one that has to walk through it. Whereas in this one, Correct. He's a fucking mess on drugs and he's stumbling through doors, just being dragged around the place by bugs. It's like, who wants to see this? Yeah. Like, I'm sure that there are parts of him that's very, like, kind of like Jesus-like in a way. Maybe Moses, yeah. I don't know. And it's kind of like, imagine they went, well, we'll do a younger version of Moses or Jesus, where he's just a bit of a mess and has absolutely no idea, and he doesn't have that grace or knowledge or wisdom. That's what they've done with Morpheus in this. And it's kind of like, I don't want to see this bizarre character.
Let's stop calling him Morpheus. He's not Morpheus. He's a different character.
He's Ball Bearing Man.
He's got nothing to do with Morpheus.
Morpho. Like, we'll call him Morpho.
But what's his connection? Morpho makes more sense because he morphs into his Ball Bearing form.
Good point.
They've printed the script out. No, this is Morpho. Oh, I just thought Morpheus, no?
Yeah. But there's a bit like when they all meet up. So you have these retreading of the Matrix of the original Matrix, like when Neo's pulled from the pod and then he goes onto the ship where he meets Bugs' crew here. And they're all like, oh, this is my crew. Joko,
Johnny P,
Smash Mob, Johnny P,
Legzo.
Like, I don't fucking know who they're saying.
Is smarmy.
And then they're like,
Waller.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, and don't forget Sir Bebe and Bobo, the robots that helped you escape. And I just was like, and I just
Bugs.
Out.
Bugs, like, throughout the rest of the film, says about seven more lines, but three of them are, thanks, Sir Bebe. Like, stop thanking Sir Bebe. We don't need to know who Sir Bebe is.
I was cracking up.
Word. That was very Michael Bay-ish, I guess.
Oh my god! There is one bit where, in the end sort of sequence, which we'll get onto soon. But like,
oh god!
But the operator who usually controls, you know, hacks them into the Matrix or whatever.
Seek.
When they do something and like they save a couple of crew members, he turns to one of the robots like Bobo and high fives it.
Mental. Doesn't make any sense.
And doesn't he say something like rocket? Something.
Oh, God.
All right. Yeah. Mental.
I'm in tears. It's too funny. But I think I think one of the most important things that the Matrix trilogy did is the relationship between Neo and Trinity, which I actually, on rewatching, really love that whole chemistry they have together. I think Keanu and Carrie Ann Moss do a fantastic job. And so when I heard that they were both involved in this film, I was like, okay, that's good, because at least this central relationship, they know each other well. I buy into their relationship, their love, their whole story. I like it. So I like the idea that they tried to center some of the film around that, because it is one of the strongest parts of The Matrix. I think the whole plot about him wanting to, you know, he has been resurrected, and then therefore he wants to save Trinity because she's the other one who was resurrected to, you know, to power up this new Matrix. That to me is interesting, and I don't dislike it. You know, I do believe that he would do anything to save her, you know. So I quite like that, but I thought Keanu was terrible in this film. I didn't buy his acting at all. It looks like he'd just walked off the set of John Wick
100%
and just thought he given a script, did some lines, run on a treadmill, and, you know, all this shit table read stuff. And then even his acting with Trinity, I felt, was abysmal. And it really hurt my soul a little bit, because I actually think Carrie Ann Moss actually put a lot of effort into this. I think she was all right. Like, I actually watched it and thought, she's doing an all right job here.
I mean, there's the scene when just, the two of them have their, like, little mini coffee date. The dialogue in that, like, I don't know. There's a bit where Keanu goes, I pay my analysts great sums of money for such conclusions. I'm like, this isn't a human being sentence. What's happening here? Like, do you reckon that was written, or is he? What's going on?
They just hired a Keanu Reeves sort of robot to literally.
I'll just
ad-lib
this
film.
Bit. No, don't ad-lib that.
No, it'd be more natural. So
let's talk about Neo as a concept. Like Neo in is a savior. He's a Christ-like figure.
Yeah, you having a go at fucking Keanu Reeves. Jesus Christ.
What do you mean?
Just the way you said figure. Figure. I am figure. Bobo and figure.
I am figure. I give it maximum reviews.
Sorry.
Would you like some human coffee?
He's this savior, right? And
savior.
In this film, I feel... And you watch... The thing about the original films, even if you don't like the second and third film, I don't think you can say that some of the action sequences within them aren't, you know, breathtaking. And they genuinely are. Like the level of choreography, it's astounding, some of it. Like in the original, obviously, the martial arts is so visceral and so impactful. Like you feel it. Like it reminds me of the first time I watched The Raid. The Gareth Evans, not this Gareth Evans
boy.
On the podcast, martial arts film. The first time you watch that, you feel every hit that is being performed. And with the original Matrix, it did something amazing. It actually did that. And I go back now and just watched it the other day. I was like, this is incredible. Mm. Like, it's actually incredible. Reloaded, they start incorporating these weird CGI moments because obviously Neo has more powers and stuff. But overall, the choreography is fantastic. Like, the actual... beat for beat action, keeping with it, the way it's edited together, everything about it is epic and amazing, and it harks back to these kung fu epics that, you know, Jet Li did when he was younger, and all these amazing films, which mob martial arts.
Jet Li,
right?
Other ones.
And, no, but Jet... don't make me laugh. But this film, Neo... this is the same person. This is Keanu Reeves, who not only since doing those films has become John Wick. So his gun skill has gone through the roof and his martial art capability has also gone through the roof, right?
quite literally.
How then have they made his character so piss poor at martial arts, and now they've given him the most... boring move in the world, force push with the light or whatever. It is literally the most shit thing ever. And now when he stops bullets, it looks like that scene out of South Park where they all think they're psychic and he's going, ma 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 ma, and just stopping some bullets everywhere. And I'm just like, can you guys believe how bad the action is in this film?
Yeah.
How bad it is.
But it's, I didn't mind the first one. When he's with Morpho, when he's with him and he does the push and the whole thing explodes, it's kind of like just the release
John,
of power. Go on.
Right, but can I just... That whole scene is terrible.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying that force push thing, it's like, fine, use it there and never again. and then that's all he does.
Yeah, but...
I mean,
yeah, but that's what
I'm presuming we're going to come to the last sort of 20 minutes of the film at some point soon. So I won't talk about it in that context. But I mean, the way that move is used in the last 20 minutes is just, it became hilarious. Like, I was just laughing at it. Incredible. But the fight sequences, I mean, there's one bit when they're in the weird place with the, I've forgotten the name again, Len, the French...
Merovingian, you know, who comes back. Oh, my God.
Merovingian. And, I mean, that scene is abysmal. Absolutely abysmal. There's one bit in there where Morpho does some sort of flying rugby tackle. And I was like, that was kind of a little bit Matrix-y. Other than that, dreadful. Can I talk about this scene though with the Merovingian when
yeah
the lines the that he's just shouting while this fight's going on are so bad. A direct quote is, you know, well, I can't.
So not a direct quote then.
Not a direct quote. A vague quote, but I will get to a specific part.
Did you
part
write
of
this
it.
Film? Paraphrase it.
When he's going on about how, you know, taste and standards used to be higher. And he says, and now you've given us face Zucker suck. What is that? What is that? That yeah. Is it supposed to be funny? Is it supposed to be funny?
Is it supposed to be like boomer commentary or like, is that what it is?
Yeah, this is the thing. It's the messaging in this film is so muddled because it's trying to be, hey, we're making fun of ourselves, but hey, we're being a serious Matrix movie, and hey, we're trying to make a social commentary. But the thing is, it loses sight of any of them and just muddles it all together into this absolute puddle of piss. And it is. The Merovingian stinks like piss. It looks like he stinks like piss. He's covered in piss. And the Merovingian's... I don't love the character. I never loved the character in the original Matrix, but... In this, he's bonkers and stupid.
Yeah. Bonkers.
And he says at one point he's
you're
at
bonkers,
one point,
mate.
He says I want my own spin-off. It's like you're never getting your own spin-off. What are you talking about? This is bizarre, yeah. Bizarre stuff.
anyway, let's round it off.
We can talk about let's cap it off. Let's talk about the end of the film. It's just they're trying to save Trinity. They have one of the final battles happens in the coffee shop where, you know, Gareth referenced they love having their chats, those really meaningful chats. You know, I just want to say about Neil Patrick Harris's character as the analyst, who is the big bad in this, and John's talked about him already, Doogie Howser. That clip, John, where he does reveal, like, oh, your greatest trick, bullet time. And now you can't do it because I've done something even greater. I'm like, they've never called bullet time, bullet time, in the Matrix ever. It's never been called that. They just say, how did you move so fast? That's crazy. Like, they can't believe how fast he moves.
No, I think they're going to remaster the other Matrix, though. So he'll get up and be like, it's bullet time. Why are you calling it that? Why is that? Why have they edited that in? Yeah.
Yeah, so that was ridiculous. But the end basically sees them trying to awaken Trinity to the realization that she is Trinity and no longer Tiffany, which is her name in this. We completely forgot to mention that. And her boyfriend, Chad. Mental. and then she has the epiphany in the coffee shop. When
Tiffany had an epiphany.
Tiffany had an epiphany,
Tiffany
becomes
had
Trinity.
An epiphany.
And... And then they all force push their way to sort of trying to save Trinity. Ends in this climax where they're on the roof and not like that. And they have to jump to avoid, you know, getting killed. And you think that Neo can remember how to fly because there's been a running joke throughout the whole film. Like,
oh, my word.
Can you still fly? Oh. And then he goes, yeah.
And, he just
and then he just jumps
and
in the air
the
and nothing
spot.
Happens.
Ugh.
Oh, my God. Jesus. Oh, my God. So it's so bad. That to me feels like, you know how Marvel scripts get plumped up a bit? Like they'll have a Marvel script, then they'll give it to some comedy writers and they'll go, make this funnier. It feels like someone tried to make this script funny and it just really hasn't worked. And then so they're falling to their death. And would you believe it? Trinity can now fly, right? And apparently she's now the one somehow. And... they fly off and they escape. What was going on
there? If you're
going
to do that, at least make it look cool. Instead, they're like hanging really awkwardly in like a bizarre position for ages. Then a helicopter comes towards them and she goes, bye, and then flies up.
Really slowly as well.
Really slowly. Really slowly moves away from the helicopter.
See ya.
You actually see the fishing wire and someone just reeling them.
See ya, we're flying now.
No, tilt down. Yeah.
Shoot them, they're just dangling in the air. Fucking hell.
Keanu's like, I'm not doing this, are you? And she's like, No, it's Terry over there with the fishing wire.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
But no, so Bobo. You have this sort of ending where Neo has freed Trinity. We haven't even talked about, you know, Satine, the other program from the original trilogy, and how she was involved, or how Morpheus ball bearing manned for event while they were, you know, trying to infiltrate the city, like an Ocean's 11 version of the Matrix or whatever they were trying to do to free Trinity. But they do.
What's going on with the age of that girl, by the way?
What do you mean? Well, she should be older, but she's a program.
Well, just stay as a kid. They have no. Why is she now an adult?
Yeah, true.
Why is she a young adult?
Very good point.
60 years,
actors,
man.
Actors age, John. Actors age. That's the only reason I have for that.
Just get another girl.
So then Trinity and Neo go and visit the analyst at the end of the film and have, honestly, some of the worst dialogue I've ever seen in a film, ever.
What is it?
It's all because they think Neil Patrick Harris's character is obviously scripted to be extremely sexist. He's like saying to Neo, like, can you not control her? And then she like kicks him around the face and goes, no one can control me and stuff like that. And I'm just like, what is this dialogue?
And his chin falls off, doesn't it?
Yeah, they kick his chin off.
They literally kick
his chin off. And then they both fly away to the same track, but a cover version of the one from the first film. And I'm just like, what is this film? What are they trying to do? Do you know what scares me? They might make more.
They're going to make more.
They might. Oh my God.
No way.
No way. I can't imagine it. It's just.
Do you want to add it to our bet? Liverpool to finish above Arsenal. Ball bearing robots to exist. Matrix 7 within 60 years.
It just breaks my heart that, you know, talking about you boys here has actually been hilarious, to be honest with you. But
yeah, give it more blueberries.
Yeah, like, because of this film, I enjoy it more now because we've talked about it. Three blues. No, joking. I'll give it three ball bearings. The thing is, it's just a shambles, isn't it, boys? I mean, I feel like we're being harsh, and I know that there's people out there that like this film, but I wasn't.
I haven't met any.
I'm the hype man.
That's the thing. I haven't met any people that like this film. Like I know like about seven people that have now watched this film and they've just gone, Jesus, this is awful, isn't it?
I thought you were going to say, I know seven people and yeah, three of them more don't than like you, this film. So don't.
Yeah, and they've all said awful. So
yeah. You know Lucy, you know Goosey, who else do you know? Me and Gaz.
Bobo. He just did it for the money.
Don't forget Sebebe.
One of the ball bearings, he thought it was shit as well.
And he was in it.
It's just an awful film. But this is what I mean. Like, I'd have more, like, faith in humanity if we all came together and went, that is shocking, that, isn't it? Because sometimes,
yep,
when a film's an absolute stinker, it's quite nice that everyone joins together and they're like, Jesus, that was terrible, wasn't it? And then in years to come, you're like, have you ever seen this? And it's like, no, watch it. It's awful. You love it. This isn't even one of those films. It's just a nothing film.
Yeah, I do think it won't be remembered. It's just got nothing. I just think it's got nothing. Like, people slag off the second and third film, but I still feel that they offer something. Like, I talk about those action sequences. Some of them are still amazing. And you care about Trinity and Neo a bit, and you have these elements to it. I just don't see this ever being remembered. Anyway, that's our spoiler review of Matrix Resurrections. Hilarious review. I knew this would be fun to talk about because I knew we were all going to slag it off, so it's always a bit fun when that happens. Sorry if you really enjoyed the film.
They've stopped listening.
But genuinely, if you did enjoy this film, please do let us know. And let us know why. Right. Because we might have missed something or misinterpreted something, John Sharp. We might have misinterpreted something. So you can email us. Email is in the show notes, fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. Or John controls the Twitter and he said he's not interested. So please inundate him with reasons why you love the film.
Before underrated, overrated. Sorry, I have two films that I want to discuss very quickly, and obviously it's going to be very quick. One, because someone on Twitter asked our opinions of Don't Look Up. And okay, so this is going to be a very quick Don't Look Up.
It doesn't have to be, yeah.
No, ish, well, quick-ish. It does. Got things to do. Yeah. I loved it. So, four bloobs. Len?
I really enjoyed it, four bloobs. I actually felt that the messaging was pretty... pretty powerful, to be honest with you, and I know that a lot of people, and Gaz is going to give his opinion in a minute, but just people in general are taking issue with how on the nose, and I'm doing this again because I know we've been talking about a lot today, the film is, but I actually thought that, barring a few jokes that didn't land and a few things I didn't necessarily agree with, I thought the, and this is a pun, I thought the film was quite impactful, especially towards the end. So,
all right, spoilers.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, Gaz, I know obviously, you know, we've briefly discussed it. We've briefly discussed it. He scuffed it, you mug. Off air. So I know you didn't enjoy it as much as we did, but have you, now that you've seen The Matrix Resurrections, have you now gone, do you know what?
Exactly.
It is a film. It is at least a film.
It's a coherent film, and it's at least twice as good as Matrix Resurrections. So it gets two blueberries for me. The whole message is so important, and I'm glad that it exists in a Hollywood movie. It's just a shame that the movie that it exists within is poorly thought out. I think the whole basic concept of converting climate change to an asteroid that's going to crash is problematic, because the whole nature of the issue is that it isn't necessarily something you can look out and see immediately.
But that's the whole point. But that's why it's great, because they only realize, the whole point of that metaphor is, you only realize when it's too fucking late. They will see it. You do see climate change, and you're seeing it now with bushfires, with hurricanes. And people don't believe it until these things hit them in the fucking face. Yeah. And that is literally what they're saying. It's the same fucking thing. Climate change is invisible. You can't fucking see it until it hits you in the fucking face.
Yeah.
But it's game over. You're dead.
But an asteroid isn't invisible. It's there to be seen. But
no,
look,
it's only visible for the final fucking hours
at the end of
the time.
No, mate, the whole point is, don't look up. It's there for them to see, and they are not looking at it. I get that I get the commentary. I understand the metaphor. It's flawed. It's also supposed to be a comedy film, and it's just not funny. I didn't laugh. I think I laughed once. And
I thought it was quite funny.
I enjoyed some of the laughs. I had some good laughs in there.
I also
but
think
there are
Kate,
some jokes.
Kate Blanchett is very attractive. Like, she
very attractive.
Very.
She is. Did they de-age her in this or something? She looks fantastic.
Yeah, they gave her different teeth.
What?
That's true.
Yeah, but that's not de-aging, so that's not CGI.
Mark Rylance gave her the teeth after he was finished with his scenes.
His character is silly.
Yeah. Doesn't make sense.
I like that, though.
To the point.
Nah.
Yeah, it was a cross between Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg, and some other fuckers, and I just sat there and went, it's a bit silly, isn't it? But that's Adam McKay's style. He is a bit silly. So I was a bit like, I'll let it go.
Didn't work for me.
I get that.
Look, I think it's mental that this film has come out whilst we've obviously got this COVID. Because again, we've got a split in humanity where there are some people that are, you know, COVID deniers, anti-vaxxers.
That is a bit like looking at an asteroid and saying it's not there, to be fair.
So it works there. Like, we
right,
do live in a world
then.
Where...
Still not that funny.
Yeah. All right, but I've got a couple more
a
off the
laugh.
List here to get one more blue. The other film that I wanted to discuss, No Way Home. So you guys obviously did a hot take.
We did a full review.
Oh, you did do a review in the end.
Yeah, glad you've been listening.
There you go. I didn't get a notification, so I have to look at the app there.
God.
Right, get Emma Phillips.
Len, you gave it 5 bloobs.
I gave it 5 bloobs. Yep, sorry.
What'd you give it, Kaz?
Yep. 4.
Yeah. Yeah, like, everyone has been talking about this being, like, an amazing film and one of the best Marvel films and blah, blah, blah. It does bring up issues with, again, like, in a world where, you know, Spider-Boy, little Spider-Boy, you know, his identity, it's been revealed. Can someone help him out, please? Like, don't tell me that Happy is the only person he's got access to. Can you not just text, like, Thor? Even War Machine. Like, War Machine's fucking Tony Stark's best mate. You think he'd look out for Spider-Boy. And it's like, he's just on his own. And it winds me up. This is the problem I had with Iron Man 3, where it's like, right, this is where I live, and it just gets bombed to shit, and he's basically dead, and no one helps him out. What are they doing? Like, where's Hulk? Like, someone help him out.
Yeah, but it's like when there's comic book issues, sometimes there are just these isolated stories, and that's what these tales are.
They are just isolated stories. It works with a comic book, but it's like, it's a universe now. This is, you know, it's like, right, I'm having some issues. Yeah, go see Steven. So, you're all right, can you do some spells and that? Make people forget. And again, like, I mean, Doctor Strange in this film is shit as well. Like, his decision-making is abysmal.
His decision-making is abysmal. And that was my issue with the film. And if you'd like to hear my views, listen to Len and my review on Fan Critical.
Yeah, that was it. I just wanted to get your opinions on that. But anyway, we have a segment to do.
Yeah.
So we're going to do it now.
Hey, have you seen Ghostbusters 2? Do you think it's underrated? Hey, have you seen Ghostbusters 2? Do you think it's overrated? That's the segment here for you now. It's underrated, overrated, yeah.
Hello there. Right, okay, so I've thought long and hard about this segment, and that might be a clue. So I'm going to do an underrated segment. And overrated pornography film. No, I'm not really. Oh, no. Imagine that. I'll do overrated first.
Saving Ryan's Privates.
I liked it when it was Riven. Saving Ryan's Privates.
That was the second one.
We're going to do actors. And... I mean, I've just had a go at, you know, Marvel. There's one man, and universally people love him. I think he's overrated. Robert Downey Jr. Now, think about his entire career and delete Iron Man. Is he that good? He's brilliant at Tony
Tropic
Stark.
Thunder, he was brilliant. He was brilliant in Tropic Thunder, so and we give him 5
I mean,
moves.
If we're going to talk about...
typical, isn't it?
It is.
We're going to talk about overrated. This might be a controversial shout, but I don't think it is. I like his Sherlock Holmes movies.
Yeah, I think his interpretation of Sherlock Holmes isn't terrible. I think it's pretty
it's
fun.
Not exactly a ringing endorsement, though, is it? Go see Sherlock Holmes. It isn't terrible.
Yeah, I think it's a good...
Hold on. There's no way that you prefer his Sherlock over Cumberbatch.
I don't. I prefer Cumberbatch.
No. Yes, correct.
I do prefer Cumberbatch, yes. So,
yeah. I mean, his interpretation of Doolittle is cutting edge.
Yeah, that is cutting edge. No, you're probably right, John. Like, maybe... he is a bit overrated, but for me, he's always just going to be Iron Man, and I'm happy with that. It's like people say to me, you know, who's Wolverine? This is Hugh Jackman, and that's what I always see him as. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if he's in fucking something else. He's always fucking Wolverine to me, you know? That's what I see those characters as those things.
I think you have a point, though. His filmography is pretty underwhelming.
Yeah, like, if... So, let's say... like if you tiered actors, if you had like your A stars, your B stars, blah blah blah. And that doesn't mean how much they do at the box office, fucking hell. But like you'd have like your Robert Downey Jr.'s and stuff in your top tier. You might have like Christian Bale. He might be in like the second tier. I think Robert Downey Jr. would be like third or fourth tier. And yet, because he is the main man in the biggest film franchise probably ever now, it's kind of elevated him to be like that Hollywood icon. And actually, I think he's overrated. Doesn't mean I like Robert Downey Jr. And Tony Stark, brilliant. I'm just saying, overrated. That's all.
Interesting.
Yeah, I can see that, John.
Yeah.
Underrated.
Good. Well, I was hoping that would be the controversial one. Maybe this will be the controversial one. So, underrated. Mark Wahlberg.
He's a tough one, Marky Mark.
You get it, though, don't you? You get it. Because you're looking at it and you're like, yeah, but it's Mark Wahlberg, isn't it? He's just a bit rubbish. And then you go, oh, no, he was all right in that. And then, I mean, arguably, you know, in The Departed, he probably should have won Best Supporting. I can't remember who he was up against
Supporting,
that year, but
yeah.
Just a phenomenal performance. And that's him in, okay, he's in a, it's not that serious of a role, but it's still a dramatic role to play. He's just that, you know, Boston cop. And he outshines some legends in that film. Legends. And then you go like,
yeah,
he's actually quite funny as well. He's been in funny films. So I'm not saying that he might be someone that I'd put in that same tier of like acting quality as Robert Downey Jr. But most people look at Mark Wahlberg as Marky Mark, this you know, not nowhere near as good.
The problem he has is I think he is inherently a good actor. And he brings a lot of charisma to so many roles, but he does make some serious, serious missteps with his career every time. And I sit there and go, why are you in, you know, that Transformers film? What are you doing? What are you doing? You're just grabbing money. And I've seen that film, and it's garbage, and he's garbage in it.
Is he?
Yeah, he's terrible in it.
I was going to say, there's a lot of films, I think. Well, not a lot, but he's in some bad films where he's not the bad thing about
it. But that film was destined to be shit. and, you know, like, but he knew that was going to be shit. And he took the money. He's a bit of a cash grabber. Like, in Australia here at the moment, there's these Ladbrokes adverts. Fuck me. They're terrible. And he's the main guy in it. And I hate him. And I sit there and go, you're just grabbing the cash. You know, I'll tell you what would be a good barometer of this. He's playing Sully in the Uncharted movies, which I think is a terrible piece of casting. If he does well in that, maybe I'll say, John, you're right, he's underrated. I think he sits about where he needs to sit right now. If he were to take some more serious roles on and not just take it for the cash or do a shit comedy film every now and then, I would take him a bit more seriously, but I can't take him seriously. I really like him as an actor, and I think some of his performances can be good. But as I said, I don't like those cash grabs.
Well, how many actors could you go, this is someone that they would never do a cash grab?
No, but he does so many of them, John. It's not like he doesn't do one or two.
Is this because you've just seen that Ladbrokes ad five a year just before this pod, though?
Yes, it's terrible, mate.
Yeah, I mean, look, De Niro did Rocky and Bullwinkle. It's like, come on, you know, it's...
Yeah, De Niro's lost the plot, mate. De Niro did Bad Grandpa 1 and 2. He deserves to be fucking just retired because of those things, you know?
Overrated actor.
No, don't you start that. good. Well, that was it.
Nice one, John. Well, thank you. And that's it. This for the first podcast of 2022 with Fan Critical. This has been 60 Minutes to Midnight, the Happy New Year edition, the COVID positive edition, the Matrix Resurrections ball bearing man edition. It has been fantastic to discuss that abysmal, atrocious and shameful film with the fellow Minutemen. As we said, if you love the film and you've stuck around to this point, thank you very much, because that must have been very hard to listen to. I want to wish John and Gareth the happiest of 2022s.
And you, mate.
As do I.
Thanks, bud.
All the listeners. Yeah. And I wish that they never make another Matrix film again. And if they do, different directors and stuff entirely. So,
but
yes.
Different Morpheuses as well, thanks. Most importantly.
Yes. I would say double down on ball bearings. More Sabebe, more high-fiving Bobo. what else? Anything else you want to add in there?
More Sephiroth. Arbitrary characters named after trees.
Yeah. We didn't even talk about how Agent Smith was just played by the other guy who I said comes out and goes, Mr. Anderson. And then throughout the whole film is just like there for some reason. Anyway, it's garbage, guys. Just go watch it. If you haven't seen it and you've listened to this review, please go watch it. It's hilarious. But yes, thanks, boys. It's been a pleasure.
See ya.
We'll catch you on the next one.
Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.